Good day, welcome to the Cigna Drug and Alcohol Awareness Series conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Amy Papageorge. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello, and thank you for joining us for Cigna's Drug and Alcohol Awareness Series. My name is Amy Papageorge, and I'm a therapist and care manager for the outpatient alcohol team at Cigna. Due to the format of this seminar, you will not be able to ask questions during the talk, but there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end. Following today's presentation, you will be asked to participate in a brief 5-question survey so that we can get your feedback regarding your experience in today's seminar. After the survey, you will be able to ask our speaker questions regarding her talk. Please limit your questions to the seminar topic. If you have specific questions regarding substance abuse treatment or your policy, please contact the outpatient team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. There is a PowerPoint for today's seminar available online. To access the PowerPoint, go to www.cigna.com/substanceabuse and click on today's presentation. Again, that's www.cigna.com/substanceabuse and then click on today's presentation. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Carrie Terrell. Carrie has been working in the substance abuse field as a licensed chemical dependency counselor for 7 years. She has a bachelor's degree in psychology from the University of North Texas and is currently pursuing a master's degree in social work at the University of Texas at Arlington. Carrie is currently the admissions manager for the Phoenix Houses of Texas Adolescent Substance Abuse Treatment Facilities. Carrie?
Thank you, May, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I'm excited to be able to talk with you about farming, which is an interesting new term that the majority of you may or may have not heard of, but it is a new slang term that the teenagers are using because their drug use has tended recently to move away from what you would consider to be the typical street drugs to now they're abusing a lot of different types of medications. Some of them are over-the-counter, and some of them are prescription as well. So moving to the second slide on the PowerPoint, just kind of a disclaimer that the contents of your medicine cabinet may seem harmless, but they could potentially be very dangerous, addictive, and even deadly. And so moving to the next slide, like I said, farming is the way that a lot of the teenagers are partying and getting high these days. And so we're going to go over a few of those different medications. Also, like I said, some over-the-counter and some prescription, as well as some of the slang terms, the street terms of what the kids are calling the different drugs. And we're going to end today with what you can look for and what you could potentially do if your child or someone that you know is struggling with these things. So moving to the next slide, we're first going to talk about dextromethorphan, which is also known as DSM. And DSM is the active ingredient in several cold medications, cough medications, and it has, if taken in large quantities, has very similar effects as alcohol, is being intoxicated on alcohol. So we've got on the slide a few pictures. Chlorocetin would be the most common form of DSM that teenagers are taking, and they call it triple C's because it is chlorocetin, cough, and cold. There's also, you know, DSM is also in cough syrup, so sometimes kids will also drink cough syrup. On the top right corner of that slide, there's the drug facts about chlorocetin specifically, and on there, you know, you can kind of look through it and see some of the warnings. One of the big things that says in bold, do not use, if you're on an MAOI, which is an antidepressant, a lot of the kids that we see who are struggling with substance use or abuse also have, you know, mental illness, oftentimes depression. And so there's that warning that if they're taking an antidepressant, they really shouldn't be taking this medication. And then in addition to that, under the drug facts on the right-hand side, it says abuse of this product can lead to serious injury and to contact the Poison Control Center immediately. So the directions say for anyone 12 years or over to take 1 to 2 pills every 4 hours and no more than 12 within a 24-hour period. And a couple of slides later, we'll talk about how many the teenagers are taking. But the unfortunate reality is, regardless of what the warnings say, regardless of what, you know, the dangers that are very boldly on the packaging, they are still abusing them. So moving to the next slide, 3.1 million people 12 to 25 years old had misused an over-the-counter cough and cold medication at least once in their lifetime. This is a study that was done by the National Substance Abuse and Mental Health Association. And then young adults ages 18 to 25 were more likely than youth to have misused them. And so, you know, this isn't something that's happening just with the teenagers. It's within the young adult population, too. And on the next slide, we'll look at a few more details about DSM. And on the top left corner, it's actually a quote from a 16-year-old client who I assessed who was going into treatment. And he said, if I take 16, I'll be high for a whole day. If I take 32, it'll last for 2 days. And what he was talking about were triple C's, the Coracine medication that said not to take more than 12 within a 24-hour period of time. And he's talking about taking 16 at once or 32 at once. So there's obviously a really serious danger and concern for these kiddos who are abusing this medication. Why teenagers are abusing DSM? It's cheap. Much cheaper than being, you know, going and buying other street drugs. It's easily accessible. Like I said, the high for this is going to be very similar to being drunk. Teenagers can't go buy alcohol on their own, but they can walk into CVS or any other, you know, pharmacy or drugstore and pick this up very easily. Unfortunately, right now, there hasn't been enough focus or attention put on this particular substance for it to be something that's regulated. So it isn't behind the counter. It isn't, you know, regulated like Sudafed in a lot of places. I know you can only buy a certain amount, and you have to provide your ID and show that, you know, that you're old enough and that you are only allowed to buy, you know, a certain limited amount at a time or even within a month. With the DSM, that's not the case. So somebody could walk into a drugstore, buy 5 boxes if they wanted to, and they won't be questioned. The other side of that is that these are often stolen from drugstores. So not only can they easily walk in and buy it, and it's fairly inexpensive, but they also oftentimes steal them from the drugstores. And then number 3 in that list is that it's believed to be less dangerous than illicit drugs. You know, thinking about a teenager's brain that is still developing and they don't have all of those cognitive processes, ability to make those great decisions, that they're looking at this saying, hey, it's at the drugstore, it's legal, it's over-the-counter, it can't be dangerous. They're not reading those warning signs on the side of the box. So the side effects of DSM are, again, very common that you would expect for someone who's drinking alcohol, blurred vision, nausea, impaired physical coordination, drowsiness, disorientation. The more serious of these is, of course, liver damage or failure because this high amount of medication is being processed through their liver. And rapid heartbeat, but also the possibility of seizures. And we do see that from time to time as well. So moving to the next slide, now we're going to take a look at some prescription medications and attention deficit hyperactivity disorder medications are amphetamines, Vyvanse and Adderall. Ritalin isn't as commonly prescribed now, but those are amphetamines. It's interesting to me when I meet with teenagers, I have, you know, this lovely list of drugs that I ask, you know, if they've done them, how often, and all that stuff. And if I ask a teenager if they've ever done methamphetamines, they look at me like I have lost my mind because they know how serious methamphetamines are. They understand from the media, from, you know, all different avenues that that is a very serious, very addictive, highly dangerous drug. But if I ask them if they've ever abused their Ritalin, Adderall, or Vyvanse, then most often they have. If they are prescribed that medication, then it is possible that they are taking more than prescribed or possibly taking medication that is not prescribed to them. On the next slide over, this is something that was published in 2011 by the National Institute on Drug Abuse. And it's a pretty neat graph just to show how often different drugs are being used by high school teenagers. And marijuana is obviously, you know, number one at 36.4% of the high school teenagers or high school seniors are using marijuana. And we will talk about synthetic marijuana here in a little bit. That's the second one. But after Vicodin, Adderall is the fourth leading drug of abuse for high school teenagers. And approximately one in nine youth, or about 11.4% of young people from 12 to 25, have abused some kind of prescription drug within the past year. So that gives you an idea of the prevalence of it and how serious this can be. The other part of this slide is that 25% of the people who began abusing prescription drugs at age 13 or younger did ultimately meet clinical criteria for addiction sometime in their life. So that's a pretty vague, you're not really sure if that means they were addicted to those pills or if those pills led to other drugs that they became addicted to, but it's definitely a significant statistic to say, you know, this is causing problems for these kids later on in their life. So moving to the next slide, there is a picture of what not specifically is Adderall. There's a wide range of the way that the pills look, the color, the size, depending on what the dosage is. But that will give you an idea. You can always, if you're wondering, if you find a pill or you're wondering what it may be, then you can always look that up online and usually get some pretty significant results. But the reason why, the way that these kids are abusing this particular medication for ADHD is that they sometimes will crush the pill and snort it, go straight to the brain very quickly. They could dissolve it in water and actually inject it. I, here in Texas anyway, haven't heard that from the teenagers, but definitely a possibility. And, of course, if it's prescribed to them, they can take more than what's prescribed. The if a child has ADHD and they do need the medication, it can be very effective. But if they want to feel that speed, energy, euphoric feeling, they may take two instead of one. And then they could develop a tolerance to where those two don't make them feel that way anymore, so then they need to take three. And so it, you know, it escalates from there. The other side of that is that oftentimes someone who is prescribed medication for ADHD, they may not necessarily want to take it. They may not want to take more of it, but their friends want to take it. And so it is common for them to sell it to their peers or trade it for other drugs because it is unfortunately pretty readily available. Moving to the next slide on why the medication is abused, there's a couple of quotes on here, again, from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, but the most important parts are, you know, they kind of stand out as increased dopamine, which dopamine is the neurotransmitter in the brain that is associated with pleasure and movement and attention. So the medication is meant to improve attention. But in the meantime, it is also improving pleasure, euphoria, energy, and all these other things that are beneficial to the kids who are abusing it. Taking more than prescribed not only provides those feelings, but it also is amplified. You know, it's going to be more than the common, the common effect of that medication would be. So then on the right-hand side, there's just a list of a few other possible reasons why someone would abuse ADHD medication, and it is an appetite suppressant. So if you're trying to lose weight, if that is a concern, it sometimes could be used as an easy way to do that. A lot of kids that I hear are not even necessarily using it for the high, for that effect, but they know that they can really focus and they really can do well on a test. They can really do better in school if they're taking this. So sometimes that is their motivation. It does also increase energy. It is difficult to detect. Unless someone is taking excessive amounts of these medications, it's not easy to know that someone is on it. So going to school, going to work, coming home and hanging out with your parents, you're able to do that without them really noticing that anything's going on. And, again, it's very readily available. These kind of medications are prescribed more and more these days, and so most kids know someone who has a prescription for ADHD medication. Moving to the next slide, there are some dangers listed. High blood pressure, heart rate, hostility, paranoia, decreased sleep and appetite, and it is an addictive medication. It is an amphetamine. The most serious concern is it could cause cardiovascular complications up to and including possible stroke for these kids. So moving on then to the next slide, we're going to be looking at Xanax. And this doesn't go into a whole lot of detail of what that particularly is. I think it's a more common, medication that people are aware of. The kids call it four bars because of the way that the pill looks. It's separated into four sections. And the Xanax is an anti-anxiety medication. One of the most commonly known effects of Xanax is blackout. And aside from, there's a lot of other physical effects that come along with this medication if it's being abused, but almost every time the person who takes it does not remember what they did when they took it. So you hear stories of, I woke up next to a swimming pool in an apartment complex, and I have no idea how I got there, and everything in between. And, I mean, the concern there is possibility of date rape, possibility of, you know, some serious, scary, dangerous things happening because that person doesn't have control over what they're doing. They're not aware, and they really ultimately have no idea what happened while they were under the influence of Xanax. In the red octagon on this slide are some, you know, the major concerns, because this is a very life-threatening and deadly medication if taken in excess, if taken when it's not prescribed, especially in teenagers. If it's mixed with alcohol, those are two depressants. So both of those, the alcohol and the Xanax, are slowing down the central nervous system and respiratory system. And it may not happen the first time, it may not happen the fifth time, but every time this combination is taken, it is possible that respiration stops completely, that the heart stops completely, because it's just slowed down so much. It's not alcohol plus Xanax, it's alcohol plus Xanax times 20. Because that's an exponential effect when you mix those two. It also sometimes is mixed with heroin, which is also a depressant. And just another side note, Xanax and alcohol are the only two drugs from which withdrawals are life-threatening. So if someone is addicted to Xanax, they could have serious seizures when they're withdrawing and could definitely could die from that, and alcohol as well. The other drugs may be miserable to withdraw from, but they're not going to be life-threatening. And then the quote on the right-hand side is a scary reality when it comes to blackouts, too, that it's a fast-acting and drug, and it's metabolized rapidly out of the system. So someone, you know, maybe take one, the high goes away pretty quick, so they take another one. But where the blackouts come in, they may have forgotten that they took five, and they may take five more. And it's just, you know, it's really scary to think what, you know, the potential effects of that could be. At the bottom of this link, I'm going to give you just a minute, or sorry, at the bottom of this slide, I'm going to give you just a minute to click on the YouTube video. And this particular video is a young lady who has experienced, you know, she's abused Xanax, and she talks about her experience. So I'll give you just a minute to watch that. Okay, so hopefully you all were able to view that if you're at a computer currently. And like says, teenager, if you weren't able to see it, just talking about the excessive amounts of Xanax that she would do, I think she said 12 pills at one time, and waking up in the county jail and having no clue how she got there. So a lot of dangers and concerns with that. The next slide is something that is not a medication, but it's something new and scary that is very prevalent right now, at least I know in Texas. And that is the synthetic marijuana, K2. You know, there's all kinds of different names for it. It's sold in sometimes gas stations, most often in head shops, smoke shops, and it's sold as an incense, but that is a cover for the manufacturers to be able to sell this over the counter. the packaging says that it is not for human consumption, but that is, you know, like I said, it's a way of getting around the system is, you know, they're selling it so that the kids will smoke it. And the deal with this, it's called synthetic marijuana, but it's actually a combination of chemicals that are put on this leafy, flowery-like substance that people are smoking. On the next page, there is some information about K2. In 2011, there were 5 chemicals that were used in the production of K2 were classified as Schedule 1 by the Drug Enforcement Administration. So we became very aware of this. There was a lot of legislation passed to say, you can't do this anymore, and it is not legal for you to sell it. So the people who are making it just change the chemical makeup of it just a little bit, enough for them to continue to be able to sell it. The concern with that is that every time they change that chemical makeup, it gets stronger, more potent, and has more serious consequences. So that happened in 2011, and you'll notice on the chart below, 2012, still 11.3% of high school seniors reported smoking this substance. And that was a study done by University of Michigan. So it was in the news. It was made illegal, supposedly made illegal. But yet, a year later, there's still a significant amount of people, particularly high school seniors, that were using the substance. So that was obviously not very productive or successful in preventing this. And, you know, you'll see that's even used more than ecstasy or cocaine. On the next slide, you'll see some of the effects of the synthetic marijuana: rapid heart rate, vomiting, agitation, confusion, hallucinations, and, you know, the rise in blood pressure and potentially heart attacks. This is something that the National Institute on Drug Abuse has also put out. You know, there's so many other things that happen that it's such a new substance that it's not really been studied, researched. It's not at all regulated, and so the, you know, really the effects are unknown. I will say that I've seen a 15-year-old kid in a psychiatric hospital who was psychotic, was a normal kid, no mental health issues, no problems whatsoever until he started smoking this. And he was psychotic, and he was, it was so sad. And those things, you don't know if it's going to be reversible or not. So there's different names, different ways of them selling it, but that's something definitely to be aware of. The next slide says, say what? I couldn't call them street names. These kids are smart, and they are not going around saying, I'm, you know, doing cocaine, I'm doing ecstasy. They are coding their emails, their text messages, their phone conversations, so that even if they're in class or sitting at the dinner table with mom, they can have these conversations, and sometimes, you know, everybody around them is completely unaware. So the next slide has a picture of what looks like would be a purple soda, but it is what the kids are calling lean or purple drink, and that is Sprite mixed with promethazine with codeine. So that is a prescription-grade cough syrup that they are drinking to get drunk. The next slide is something that is, again, you know, this is really prevalent among the teenage and young adult population, and it's ecstasy, but it's not just ecstasy. They claim that it's pure MDMA, which is the active ingredient in ecstasy. And the most common term for it is Molly. And I actually just on the other day on the radio heard there's this song by Miley Cyrus, and it's called We Can't Stop. And she, there's a line in that song. She initially was claiming that it said that it was dancing with Miley, but later admitted that it was dancing with Molly, and Molly referring to ecstasy. So this is in the popular media. This is something that young celebrities are doing, and they're advertising. So, again, Molly, hanging out with Molly. Let's go dance with Molly. That's not their best friend. Well, they may consider it to be their best friend, but that could be a drug, not a person. The next slide is something that's been around for a while, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to address it here too. Cheese is heroin, and it's heroin mixed with sometimes Tylenol PM or sometimes with Xanax. And we mentioned earlier that heroin and Xanax is a very dangerous combination. And something called cheese sounds fairly harmless, but in fact it is incredibly dangerous, and it is black tar heroin mixed with other substances and marketed to teenagers. Because, again, you ask them a teenager if they've done heroin, they're going to look at you like you're nuts. But cheese is a different story. So here, again, there is a YouTube video. If you are able to click on that link and open that up, then I'll give you a second to do that. And this is a public service announcement kind of thing about cheese, and it's some kids talking about how big of a problem it is. So I'll give you a little bit to watch that. Okay, so moving to the next slide, Wax, this is actually our executive assistant, came to me a month ago and said, what, do you know anything about Wax? And I had no clue what she was talking about. Her 13-year-old teenager, 13-year-old daughter, came home and asked her about Wax because she heard it from her friends at school. And so we did some research, and it is apparently if you use butane, you can extract the THC from marijuana. And so it's more than 80% pure THC, where compared to the average marijuana leaf is 20 to 30% THC. So it's a lot stronger than if you were to smoke marijuana. And in making it, you could also blow up your house because they're packing tubes full of marijuana and then shooting compressed butane through the tube. And then that extracts the THC, and it ends up looking like what you see on your PowerPoint, and it's called wax. Because of what it looks like. So there's a link there, too, if you afterwards want to take a look at that. It's very limited information that you can find about this because it is incredibly new, but there's a Fox story on it. I think that was in Los Angeles. So you can read that later if you would like more information. So the next slide is warning signs of teenage drug abuse. Before I go through these, I also want to say that teenagers are teenagers, and sometimes they are rebellious, sometimes they break rules, and sometimes they do these things, not because they're using drugs. And so that is important to be aware of. But these also are signs and symptoms of a possible drug problem, abuse or potentially addiction. If you are missing prescription medications, I very often hear, oh, my mom had surgery, and she didn't take all her hydrocodone, so it was sitting in the medicine cabinet. And I took one or two, nobody noticed, so I took the whole bottle. Or, again, you know, with a Xanax, some, you know, that may be a valid prescription that a parent has, and the kids could get their hands on it pretty easily. I would suggest to have your medication secure within your home. There's no reason why your child needs to have access to it. And, you know, it seems pretty extreme in some cases, but I have a colleague who works at a different program but is in recovery himself, and he did have his medications locked in a safe, and his teenage son found a way to break into that safe and steal the medications anyway and end up in the hospital in the ER. So that is, it's a reality that is a danger, and it's worth taking that extra precaution. Also, if you find empty cough medicine or cold or sinus medication bottles or boxes in their rooms, that could be potentially a problem. Decrease in grades or skipping school, increase in agitation or aggressive behavior. You know, we talked a little bit about the slang terms. And so, you know, if you hear your child talking about any of those things, it's reason for concern. And again, you know, teenagers, normal social interactions, they may change friends, they may decide to dye their hair blue, because that happens. But again, you know, those could be potentially signs of drug use. And then if they lose interest in hobbies or favorite activities, if your money, you know, disappears randomly and you're not sure where it went, of course, any kind of illegal behavior that your child is involved in could potentially be because of drug use or in order to get money to buy drugs. And sneaking out, running away, or leaving the house without permission are also things that we commonly see in the teenagers who we see at Phoenix House. So the next slide is going to be, what can you do? Actually, all of these quotes are from a special that I had seen on, it's a Katie Couric show. And the first two are from the same young woman. She's 17 years old. She was smoking the K2 synthetic marijuana for just a couple of months, not even very long. And she ended up having multiple strokes. And she, at the time of the show, it had been months later, and she was left with brain damage. She was paralyzed and was still in the hospital. So one of the things that she said was, I thought it was legal and it couldn't hurt me. And, you know, it's so important that you educate your teenagers, listen to them, openly discuss drug use. Even if it's not something that you would expect your child to do, if it's not something that you're concerned, you know, would happen, it's so prevalent right now in the high schools and hearing about it and talking about it. And this young woman had no idea. She really had no clue, and it ended up her lack of knowledge and poor decision-making led to her putting her life in danger and being paralyzed and having this brain damage for the rest of her life. And then the next thing is being aware of where your kids are, who they're with, and what they're doing. There was a saying back however long ago that was, you know, it's after dark, you need to know where your kids are. And now it's, you know, where they are and who they're with and what they're doing. Because just because they're at their friend's house doesn't mean that they're doing something they should or need to be doing. This same Emily that we were just talking about was talking about her rebellious behavior. She was 17, hanging out with kids that were in their 20s. She dyed her hair green. her parents thought they were supporting her individuality, when in reality, here she was doing not only K2, but some other drugs, too. And when asked about it, she said, my parents should have known. It was very obvious, and my parents should have known. And they didn't argue with her. They just weren't aware. They weren't aware, and they didn't notice the signs. The next and the last quote is not necessarily dealing with drug use, but this young lady, her lung collapsed, and she almost lost her life doing the cinnamon challenge. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of that. This is the first time I heard of it. Apparently, it's a new thing where you try to eat like a tablespoon of cinnamon dry with nothing else, and she thought apparently impossible to do. But she inhaled it when she did that accidentally, and her lung collapsed. And what she said about that was, I saw it all over Facebook and all over YouTube, and I thought it would be fun. So as social media increases, becomes more popular, everything is on Facebook or Twitter. You watch the news, and they're talking about Facebook and Twitter. Know your child's passwords. Watch what they're saying on there. Their privacy is not, that's not an option. It's not important when you're dealing with this type of stuff. When their life is in danger, they don't need that privacy. You need to know what they're doing, who they're talking to, and what they're talking about. And have conversations with them. You know, be open with them about it. So, that is the conclusion of the PowerPoint. On the last slide does have, you know, my specific contact information. This is an overview of a lot of different things. And so if you do have any questions, if you have someone in your life who you're concerned about, definitely feel free to give me a call and or email me. Like I said, all my information is listed there for you. And it's definitely available. So I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you attending. And then Jen's going to go ahead and do the survey with you guys.
And to help us evaluate and improve our program, please complete the following short survey. If you are a Cigna employee, we ask that you please refrain from participating in this survey. After the last question, there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions. Your individual responses will be kept confidential. Please tell us the degree to which you agree or disagree with the following statements. After I finish reading the entire question and all the possible responses, please answer by pressing the star key followed by the number that corresponds to your choice. And for question one, this session provided me with basic understanding of what farming is. Press star 1 for strongly agree, star 2 for agree, star 3 for disagree, and star 4 for strongly disagree. Again, for question one, this session provided me with basic understanding of what farming is. Press star 1 for strongly agree, star 2 for agree, star 3 for disagree, and star 4 for strongly disagree. Question 2. This session educated me on how to identify someone who may be abusing prescription drugs. Press star 1, strongly agree, star 2, agree, star 3, disagree, or star 4, strongly disagree. Again, question 2. This session educated me on how to identify someone who may be abusing prescription drugs. Again, star 1 for strongly agree, star 2 for agree, star 3 for disagree, and star 4 for strongly disagree. Question 3. Overall, this session met my expectations. Please select one of the following responses. Star 1, strongly agree, star 2, agree, star 3, disagree, and star 4, strongly disagree. Moving on to question 4. I would recommend this program to others. Press star 1 if you agree, or star 2 if you do not agree. Question 5. Please select the response that best describes your role in the life of an individual with substance abuse issue. Star 1, I am a person with substance abuse issues. Star 2, I am a family member of someone with substance abuse issues. Star 3, I am a treatment provider with someone substance abuse issues. Or star 4 for other. Thank you for your feedback and for participating in our program. If you would like to make any additional comments to help us improve this program or have any questions on today's topic, press star 1 to have your line open into the conference. A voice prompt on your phone line will indicate when your line is open. Please state your name before posing your question. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we'll pause for a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. Again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. At this time, it appears there are no questions. I would like to turn it back over to Amy Papageorge at this time.
Thank you so much for attending, and thank you, Carrie, for speaking today. If you have additional questions for Ms. Terrell, please contact her at the web address listed on today's PowerPoint. If you have specific questions in regard to treatment or your policy, please contact the outpatient team by calling the number on the back of your insurance card. Please be sure to mark your calendars to join our next Drug and Alcohol Awareness Seminar on September 18th. Our topic next month will be the accidental addict. Thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.